Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I don't think it was at this Mass, but a few weeks ago, when I was preaching, I was talking about how Matthew depicts Jesus as a new Moses, various ways of telling this, and that the Mount of the Sermon on the Mount is like Jesus's Sinai. And this discourse, this sermon that he's giving that we heard in our gospel, at least heard part of it, is like Jesus's new law. Moses received the old law for living out the old covenant on Mount Sinai. Here on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is giving the new law to his new people to live out his new covenant. And so today, we get to hear some of the specifics of that new law, of that new teaching, of that new instruction. It's a bit exhausting, a little challenging. If we're supposed to live this teaching out, a good question we might start to ask is how? How can we live this new covenant, this new teaching out, given how challenging it sounds? I think there is an answer, and I think we can get it by pulling in a few passages from Scripture. But I think a good place to start is, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." It's an important verse. "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." Because we're sometimes tempted, whether implicitly or explicitly, to understand salvation history like this: God imposed a bunch of arbitrary rules on the Israelites, and then Jesus came, and then God pulled those rules back, and we're happy about this. This would be a very strange religion. Even more to the point, it's not what Jesus says. He has come to fulfill the law, and when he gives examples, he doesn't contradict the law. He strengthens it. St. John Chrysostom says if he were opposed to the old law, he wouldn't have, I think he used the word, accented it. So not only don't kill, but go deeper. Don't even get angry, which leads to killing. Not only don't commit adultery, but go deeper, strengthen it. Don't even cultivate the lust in your heart that leads to adultery. Don't get divorced unlawfully, but don't get divorced at all. He strengthens it. He goes deeper. This is Christ's fulfillment of the law. Now, a second question that you might ask is, if God gave the first law, and Christ, God, is now strengthening it, why didn't he just save some time and give this to Moses on Mount Sinai? Easier to memorize, longer to let it take root, could have gone to Mount Sinai and the tablet could have read, "Thou shalt not get angry in your heart." We actually know the answer to that. In our passage today, Jesus is talking about divorce, He says if it's a lawful marriage, you can't get divorced and remarried. He reinforces that teaching later on. He teaches that again in Matthew chapter 19, and he adds an explanation. He says Moses permitted divorce because of the hardness of the people's hearts. From the beginning, it was not so. In other words, the old law had concessions built into it because of the state of the people's hearts. It's not God's ideal law. It's incomplete. It doesn't give instructions for how to perfectly live in harmony with God, but given the state of their hearts, this was necessary. Gregory of Nazianzus, he's talking about the Old Testament, but it applies to the old law, uses the example of sometimes, in order to get someone to swallow medicine, you gotta mix honey into it. The honey isn't medicine. The honey doesn't make you well. The honey doesn't heal you. And yet, if you want the person to actually swallow the medicine, you gotta mix it in. This is what the old law had kind of mixed into it. Parts of it that aren't the medicine, parts of it that are diluted a little bit, but needed so that people could receive it with their hard hearts. Jesus's law, Jesus's instruction, the words that we just heard from the Lord Jesus, as you may have noticed, does not have honey in it. It doesn't have a pillow to soften the blow. It doesn't make concessions for our hardness of heart. It's pretty radical. Right? Jesus' instructions don't give us an imperfect playbook for how to live in harmony with God. It gives us that perfect playbook. The flip side is, of course, it's tough. That's a challenging part. There's good news here. The prophets knew that there was going to be a time when a new covenant would be established. There would be a new epoch at some point in the future. And you remember Ezekiel, I'm sure you've heard it before. But he talks about there will be a time when God will put his spirit within us and take from us our heart of stone and give to us a heart of flesh. There will become a time God will put his spirit within us and give us a heart of flesh. That hard heart that made it necessary for us, for the people of Israel, to get an imperfect law, an incomplete law with concessions, will be softened by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so it's no coincidence that the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus is tied up with the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Christ calls us to this new, radical way of living. And he also sends the Spirit to dwell within us, to enable us to live it out, to soften our hearts. To be true, competent, engaged follower in Jesus, you also have to have a spiritual life. If you want to respond to the call of Jesus. You have to let the Holy Spirit work in your heart, chip away at that heart of stone. Day by day by day, you have to make more room for the Holy Spirit to grow and to dwell in fuller, richer, deeper amounts. And day by day by day by day, have to let the Holy Spirit, who is dwelling there, transform your interior. That's how it's possible to live out this sermon with all its demands. Not because we've gotten less frail as human beings, but because God has sent the Holy Spirit to do in us what we can't do on our own. There are a lot of ways of engaging the spiritual life. I don't have any new ones, right? Fasting, almsgiving, that sort of stuff. Prayer, try that. That one's good. I just want to encourage one means of growing in the spiritual life, one that maybe we haven't done as much. Spiritual reading. You can do this at home, do it in a church. Always have a book that's spiritual. There are countless in the tradition, countless works in the tradition. They fit any temperament, something for everyone. Don't like one, that's all right, we got another saint for you. There are contemporary writers. Write beautifully and with wisdom. But find something, because what these books do is it's someone who's lived the life of the Spirit, who's let the Spirit get inside him or her, who's traveled further along the route than maybe we have. They turn around and help us get there. So that's just one thing we can do to enrich our spiritual life. The overall point remains that if we want to properly follow Jesus and respond to his call, we will live out the Sermon on the Mount. And if we are to live out the Sermon on the Mount, we can only do so if we allow the Holy Spirit to come to us, to soften our heart, and to work through us.